Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Suspense Radio. I am your host, John Robb. It is great to have everyone with us here on this Tuesday night, and it is our last show that is going to be here before Christmas. We are not having a show here on Christmas Eve. I wanted to let everybody know that there will not be one on Friday. We will come back to you a week from today. So, tonight's guest is going to be Ben Lieberman. We are going to be speaking because he just received a Tommy Award, and we're going to be speaking about his book, Odd Jobs, which just came out. So, everybody, I want you to sit back, relax, because Suspense Radio begins right now. I thought I found it only appropriate to play The Ride to Transylvania here tonight, and I know that's what everybody's going to be doing, is going to be riding out and picking up their Christmas presents if they have not already went shop for them. I know that there's a lot of things that need to, you know, the malls are always packed around this time of the year, which is why I stay completely away from them. I don't even like to drive by them on the street if I'm on the freeway. So that's one thing I do stay away from. But hopefully you picked up our January issue here of Suspense Magazine, or December issue, my fault. That's the best of 2010, because we've listed all the books that you have to have on your shelves that are here written for 2010. And, you know, we might have missed a couple from, you know, that will be printed now. But what we've decided to do is the ones that were probably written in December, and it'd probably be, you know, you might see them in 2011. You just never know what's going to happen with us. But we've broken it down into genres for you. We have our number one book out there, and I will go ahead and tell everybody that doesn't have the magazine that if you want to go get it, the number one book of 2010 we picked was The Bishop by author Stephen James. It is his fourth book in the Patrick Bauer series. Highly recommend to go pick up all of those and make sure that you watch out for his next book called The Queen, which will be out in 2011. We're very excited to see that one. But again, follow us on Facebook because we just put up our cover options. We'd like to get everyone involved with the magazine. It's not just the content, which we're always looking for more content. We're always looking for more short stories. Anything that you want to gift to us, anything that you have an on-location piece from or a ghost story or anything that's just on your mind, please write to us. You can email us at editor@suspensemagazine.com because there's so many things out there that we just can't get to. It is definitely impossible for us to find everything because there's so many great writers out there that do such a great job, and we try our best, but we do need the help from you, the public. So please send us anything that you can. And again, like I said, follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on MySpace, on the other ones that they're out there. I'm still trying to learn them all myself. But it is great to have everyone here again. This is our last show for Christmas. We are not going to have a Christmas show, but you can go back and check all of the shows that we've been having on here, because we've had some fabulous ones. Brad Thor was just on, and we had Patricia Cornwell, Dana Kay, and Jamie Frevoletti. We had a great show with CJ West. We had our debut authors, which was last Friday. So you definitely want to come and check out Blog Talk Radio-Suspense Magazine. Go on our site, suspensemagazine.com, and find them all to see what's happening. It is also great to have tonight, we are having Tommy Award-winning author Ben Lieberman on here to discuss his latest book, his first book. It is called Odd Jobs. It is out now. Something you want to check out. His website is LiebermanBooks.com. That's LiebermanBooks.com books.com. And we're excited to have Ben on the show with us tonight. So, Ben, thank you so much for joining us from the East Coast. I know it's a little after 9, and how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot, and I appreciate you having me here.
Hey, so Odd Jobs came out here December, I think the very beginning of December, around, was it December 3rd?
That's correct, December 3rd.
So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Odd Jobs, on the concept of it, behind it, and let everybody know exactly, you know, what the book's about.
Great. The story is, it's a crime thriller, and basically it's Kevin Davenport's life was rocked after witnessing the murder of his father, and it's tough enough growing up without a father, but now there's not enough money to support himself, his mother, and his college tuition. But the kid doesn't give up so easily, and he never had the luxury of a normal job, and he's always on the hustle. And this time really isn't any different. And he finds himself working in the corrupt Kosher World meat factory, and that's a gritty business controlled by a crime syndicate. And it's filled with a bizarre and hard-scrabble cast of characters, and those characters start turning up dead. And, you know, we have a lot of plot twists, and things are never as they seem, and he gets a little too involved in the lives of these hardened criminals, and soon enough he finds himself in the battle of his life. And basically what I tried to do with this was try to have a great crime thriller, because I've always been a really big fan of fiction. And I also tried to incorporate really strange jobs that people have had in their lives. And it's just something that was always fascinating to me, because the more successful people are and the prouder they are of the place they've been at, they like to look back on these strange job that they've had in their past. And I tried to incorporate that into a crime thriller. And inevitably, since I've been out with this, I can't tell you how many different people share with me the different crazy jobs that they had. So I start this book in a meat factory, and it's really, you know, in this meat factory, there are kind of crazy things that he has to do, like, you know, one of the delicacies in the kosher world meat factory is tongue. Tongue is a Jewish delicacy, and this kid has to peel cow tongue. And so I try to add some humor, and I try to put some different anecdotes in relating to that. But at the end of the day, you know, as he gets more and more involved with this crime syndicate, I mean, he's involved in cage fighting, drug dealing, and bookmaking and things like that. So I tried to throw a lot in there to make it both enjoyable and exciting, and hopefully I accomplish that.
Now, with a book that is kind of very complex, especially with a character like Kevin Davenport doing so many different things, how much from your real life that you had to pull into this book in order to, you know, keep the pace going and be able to keep realism into it?
Yeah, you know what? I get asked that a lot, because also what I did with the story was it's written in first person present tense, and with that it kind of has like a kind of autobiographical memoir feel. But in reality, you know, there was some research I did, and I did work in a meat factory, and I did have some of these jobs, but you know I never killed anybody, and a lot of these things are things that are just, you know, just what, you know, the beauty of fiction is that you could really, you know, expand way beyond your normal walls. And that's what I tried to do, is make it real but suspend belief at the same time. So, a lot of these jobs that were in here, they're real jobs that people had. And I was never a bookie, but I spent a lot of time talking to bookies, and I even, bought a couple of books on how to be a bookie, which is kind of funny in itself that there are, you know, books out there on how to be a bookie. But
so, like, bookmaking for dummies, I would
That's
say,
right, exactly.
I guess you could find anything right now that written
yeah,
about.
You know, it didn't have a yellow cover, but it really was exactly that.
Bookmaking for dummies, that's interesting. And so how long of a concept, how long have you been talking about or thinking about the concept of this book, and you finally decided to put it on the pages and get it done? I mean, basically, how long has it been for you to be able to get this together?
It probably took me an embarrassingly long time because
you'd be surprised how long it takes authors.
Yeah, you know, it's been about 6.5 years all said and done. What I did was I started taking classes when I got the idea about this. I guess everybody feels like they have a great novel in them and you want to express it. And what I did was I started taking classes at NYU and Columbia University. I was doing that after work and you know, my trade is, and I hope people don't get mad at me, I'm you know, a Wall Street guy. I was a bond trader, for a lot of different, for some firms, including Lehman Brothers right at the end. So I had a kind of busy day with that, and I would start writing before work. I would be getting up somewhere in the 4 area, getting on a 5-something train and start writing at 6 o'clock. I had to be at my desk at 7:30. So I had basically a good hour and a half before work to do this. So it wasn't like I had, multiple hours to work on this during the day. It would be, that grind of an hour and a half, but religiously every day. And so that took, quite a long time. And then after that, it's, after you write the end, there's a whole other battle that starts with finding the ability to get published and then the editing process. And that's all said and done. It really took, it took a very long time, but, I'm starting to feel benefit to that now, as far as, getting it out there and enjoying people giving me feedback on it.
And so now you just recently won a Tommy Award, and that came out from Writers News Weekly. So does that kind of give you not just the confidence, but more along the lines of to say, wow, I'm sure this was totally unexpected. So you had to have just been like, wow, I can't believe it. It was more like a validation, I guess.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that really helped me out because, after the editing process, it's like, if you listen to a song, 20, 30,000 times, it loses the same effect it had on you the first time. And after editing so much on the book, it felt like, I lost, my feeling to it. It felt like I lost the actual context. So there was a lot of doubt in me whether it was good or not. It was when I sat down to write it, it was the book I wanted to write. But after seeing it so many times and going through that process, I was really there really is a lot of doubt. So a couple of things along the way, a couple of endorsements I got, and that award really, really felt good because it just put me back in touch with it and gave me some confidence and some wind in my back.
And now exactly how were you nominated for the Tommy Award or, exactly how did that come about?
It was kind of an accident. I knew that the Tommy Award existed because somebody told me about it and I entered it, and really the way I entered it was because I heard this year they waived the fee. And it wasn't oh. something that I knew a ton about, but after the whole experience, I got they posted a really nice interview where I really think they got the essence of the book and spent a lot of time with me, and I just was it was just serendipitous. I mean, it was something that I found out about, and it worked out really well. And the ball just doesn't usually bounce that way. So I was really, really grateful about it.
And, we were talking off air, and you kind of had a story that you were saying that because you have two totally different people. I can't imagine, just totally different people that have, basically given you great feedback on your book. And one is James Patterson, and the other is Donald Trump. Now, those are two that you typically don't see together on a fiction book. And you were saying that James Patterson you were talked to on the phone for about a half hour, but you got to kind of give us a little bit, because I have to admit this is the first time I have seen a Donald Trump name on a fiction book of this caliber. So kind of how did that come about?
Well, I guess the you know, the way Trump came about was because I've kind of you know, I have dealings with him in the past, just through you know, he's an avid golfer and he's always on the golf course, and I've had opportunities to run into him there, and so, you know, again, I knew where he was going to be. I knew, you know, we've been able to you know, I've been able to speak to him at various times, so when I approached him about it, it helped a lot that I already had the James Patterson endorsement, and it was just, you know, my experience with him is he's he's actually genuinely a really nice guy. I mean, he genuinely is a nice guy, and I think a lot of people experience with him that they want to dislike him because he's, you know, he's so out there. But the truth of the matter is he generally is a nice guy, and when I reached out and asked for his help, it was something he was willing to do.
Now, your publisher is Sterling Publishing, correct?
Sterling House, yes.
Sterling House. Now, have you signed more deals here to bring, you know, Kevin into different books? Is Kevin going to be a standalone? Is it just going to be this one? Are you going to do another standalone? What's kind of in the future here for you?
The deal I signed with Sterling House was a 3-book deal. So the idea is to do at least 2 more, and you know, it's a character I certainly wouldn't mind spending more time with. So I'm hoping that works out that way.
Now, are you already working on the next Kevin Davenport, or is your next book already in your head going to be a standalone with somebody totally different?
That's a good question. I have ideas for both. I think because of the commitment, I'm gonna, you know, the Kevin Davenport is gonna win the day, and it's gonna be in that ilk. But I do have other ideas that I'm hoping I can work with that as well.
So, what would you say right now? I mean, when you're sitting here writing, who would you say is probably one of your biggest influences, maybe not really a mentor, but one of your biggest influences for, you know, your fiction writing career?
I mean, is it all right to say mention more than one? I mean, I'd say.
Oh, absolutely, because I'm sure you don't have. I'm sure you have more than one.
Yeah, I mean, look, James Patterson is an influence. He's as far as anybody that has any aspirations to do anything like this commercially, you know, that is. By far and away, the understanding he has of the marketplace and the way he conveys his material and his acumen about the whole business is unbelievable. And I got a chance to speak with him about that. I mean, after he read the book, he you know, spoke with me and gave me advice, and it was invaluable. And I learned a lot just from that conversation, where I'm anxious to implement that in the next work. But I'm also, you know, Elmore Leonard is an influence. You know, Don Winslow is an influence, and you know, people. You know, those are you know, Nelson DeMille certainly. So these are all people that I enjoy reading, and you know, when I put their books down, it's like I say, I wish I could do that.
Hey, if you're going to go for one, you got to go for the big dogs. Now, do you mind here if we have a live call in? Do you mind take a call here from a caller, or from a caller? Do you mind taking a question from a caller?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to get involved. Sure.
Okay, hold on. Here we go. So let me get him on here as soon as this is working. Okay, caller. Thank you so much for calling in. You're on with Ben. What's your question?
Hey, thank you. Can you hear me?
We got you.
Oh, great, great. Hey, Ben, first let me give a shout out to you. I actually had a chance to read the book, and you know, when you pick up books and you read the front page and it's got some blurb from some famous author, you kind of just take it in stride and say, you're kidding me, right? But the fact that James Patterson said he read it in one sitting meant a couple things to me. One, he's a prolific writer, so it's probably very easy for him to read, but I sat down and read it myself in one sitting, and you did a really terrific job on this first book. my question to you would be that, you know, I heard you mention that it took you 6 years from, I think it's, you said that it took you 6 years from start to finish. I think we all dream about being writers, you know, at some different stages of our lives, of our careers. Was there ever a point in there where you just kind of said, this isn't going to happen? I mean, and I don't, and I guess the follow-up would be, you know, how many publishers did you have to go to? How many, you know, agents or however the process works did you speak to before you, you know, finally found a place that you called home to publish it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the truth is I never, to go back to the first part of it, I never thought to not finish it. I mean, once I started it, I mean, one of the things I purposely did was tell people about it and show people, like, as far as when I was 50 pages in, when I was 100 pages in, I would show it. And part of the reason was I wanted to get feedback, but part of the reason was I wanted to put pressure on myself to finish it. You know, once you put yourself out there, you really can't go back.
Right.
So that was one of the things I did. But the other thing is, one of the things I purposely didn't do was listen to or even do any type of research on what you do to get published at that point, because I heard it was so discouraging and I heard it was so difficult that I didn't want to get discouraged from it. You know, it was like I took the idea that I'm going to finish this thing and I'll worry about the rest after that. And you know, the whole education process of getting published after that was really it was really mind-blowing. I mean, it is very, very difficult, especially if you don't have that type of background to do that. So, yeah, I went to very big houses and I got close on some. I went to conferences. I went to speed dating type of things to meet agents. And you know, I had somebody that basically, you know, he asked for a sample. I showed it to him. He said, oh, you could write your ass off. Can you get me the rest of this? And I said, sure. And that was on a Thursday. And by Sunday, he had rejected me. It's like every time I thought I won, it would be another setback. So it was difficult. So eventually, you know, I just like any type of dating, I finally met somebody that was willing to do this and somebody that I liked as well. And at the end of the day, I really liked a lot of the things that Sterling House did with me. So I feel pretty grateful. I feel pretty fortunate about the situation.
If I could just ask one last follow up, and then I'll turn it back to you.
Sure, go ahead.
And I really appreciate the opportunity,
Ben.
When you thought you were finished and you were taking it to be edited, or at some stage you thought you had a completed product, and I know you said there were a lot of iterations, you know, between what you thought was your final and the final editing. How many years ago were you actually finished, as you thought, with the book before you started to turn it over to editors?
I guess I finished it 2 years ago, and then it went to editing a year ago, and that process took a lot longer than it was supposed to. I mean, it was you know, when I originally the version that you saw had 295 pages, and the first version that I submitted had 440 pages. So they said, they edited first, and the first way they edited was suggestions, and they brought it down. Once I got it, I brought it down to 400 pages, thinking like, wow, that was a lot I just took out. I cut out a lot of the fat. And then they said, thank you very much, now we'll do it. And it came way down to 270 pages, and I fought to get another 20 back in. But at the end of the day, and what they did was, you know, I could look at it now from where I am, from my vantage point now, and it was better from what they did for it. I mean, it flowed better. And, you know, they took out some things I thought were pretty funny and pretty good pieces to have in there. And they said, basically, as clever as you think you are and as funny as you think you are, you're not advancing the plot from A to B. And you know what? Sometimes it takes that third person and that tough love. And it was really what was needed there. So it is a better product at the place it is right now. And that, you know, I give them credit for the editing for that, as much as some of that hurt, and I had to, you know, suck it in. It is a better product because.
Well, I want to thank the caller here for calling in, because those are two great questions. And what it does is that it lets you understand, you know, the audience about the bumps and the bruises that you had to go through in order to get, you know, your dream and your vision finally 6 years into the hands. And it also lets people know, you know, 445 pages and then down to 300. That's a lot to have to swallow as an author, to be able to sit there and say, wow, I have to, you know, is this something I have to do? But you did it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was tough to swallow. It's tough to swallow at the time.
Yeah, I mean, and so, Ben, there's another caller on the line here that wants to ask you a question, so let's bring them on. Caller, you're on the air with Ben Lieberman. What's your question?
Ben, hi. This is Stosh, and first of all, I just wanted to congratulate you on your on the completion and publication of your first novel, which I almost read in one sitting, like Mr. Patterson, but work got in the way. I loved it, and I love the genre. Read a lot of books in that genre, and always find it amazing how all the authors that I love to read work the plots, many of which are very complex. And when I get through with them, I think, oh, my God, I love to write, but I could never pull something like this off. So I guess my first question of a couple is, how did you go about it with the plot? Did you have a very rigid structure laid out in advance? Did you have it well plotted out from A to B to C and on to the end? Or was it a little bit looser and maybe you had a rough outline and then it just kind of came to you as you were working through the characters and the plot? Just curious about the process.
Yeah, no, I'd like to say that I was just real natural and let it flow and did it that, but the truth is that I was very regimented about it. I outlined it, and I knew I kind of backed into it and I outlined it and stayed on that type of path. Every once in a while, I'd have to introduce a new character or something that I didn't plan at the beginning to advance from one spot to another. But as far as any major plot twists or the majority of the work, it really was outlined in advance.
Right.
Outlining took an awful lot of time.
Was there a moment or a couple of moments where kind of aha moments where you went, ah, I've got it. This is how I can turn
the
plot.
Yeah, there definitely was, and it's kind of funny where they come. You know, it's like I'd say, you know, some of the things I like doing is running, and sometimes the best writing actually came running. As silly as that sounds, it wasn't actually writing; it was actually being somewhere else and thinking about it. But that it's actually a good question, and that's kind of where that.
No, it doesn't surprise me because I think most of my greatest ideas come when I'm in the bathroom, but that's just between me and me. I don't know what it is about that. But I will say, and Carl, I'm going to say this too because I blogged about this, is that when, and I think that maybe Ben will agree, when you're outlining a plot, you want to do it in a way, I believe, that is very vague because your characters are the ones who are going to end up writing your story. So if you stick exactly with a plot, you're going to end up hurting your characters, and that's what's going to make the story. Because not a lot of people know, when you're reading James Patterson, they know Alex Cross. When you're reading John Sanford, you know Lucas Davenport or Janet Ivanovich, Stephanie Plum. So the characters will end up writing your story, like I believe Kevin Davenport ended up writing Ben's story. So when he said he was very rigid, I believe that what happened was that I think Kevin probably took you in a different direction, if I'm right, Ben.
Yeah, that's right. I would say that's fair.
Ben, yeah. Can I ask you one other question? Is
sure.
Is Kevin going to take a job with Donald Trump, or is he going to be back as in a recurring role in your next book or two?
I think you're onto like Odd Jobs 8 if he's working for Trump. I think he's got some more dues to pay.
Yeah. Well, hey, well, like we talked too, and thank you so much, Carla, for calling in. We appreciate it. But I think we talked about this too, Ben, you know, just a little earlier, was that you are still kind of, you know, working out the stuff in your head, whether or not Kevin moves on or the standalone or how you're going to do it. So I do think that you should keep Kevin going as far as Kevin can take you or as far as you can take him, because sometimes those two things get conflicted.
I think that's a really good point. I would hate to, after spending, you know, this many years with him, I hate to take it in a spot that ruins the whole thing. So I think that's sound advice, and it's something I have in my mind too. That's why for me, I'm not married to doing that. I have other ideas for other stories and other plots. So I do have another idea for Kevin and to move this on, and I'd love to do that. But I hope that I have a lot of ideas for a lot of different things, because I got to tell you, at the end of the day, as much as it hurt getting on those early trains and everything. I really love the process, and I love being involved in this, and I've really been enjoying this.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Ben, it's been such a pleasure to have you on with us tonight, and we definitely look forward to your next book. Hopefully you'll keep us up to date on exactly which way you decide to go, and I don't know if you're going to tweet about it or Facebook about it or put it on your website, which everybody, it is LiebermanBooks.com to kind of let everybody know, if they can keep up to date exactly which way you're going to take, Kevin, or if your next book's going to be a complete standalone. But if you could keep us up to date, we'd appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. And I really enjoyed speaking with you, and wish you a happy holiday, and thanks again.
Yes, you too. And you know what? Congratulations on your Tommy Award. And, you know, just good luck with everything, because you have a very, very bright future. And I know that we're going to be seeing your name out there with a lot more awards. So congratulations.
Oh, that's great. Thanks a lot. And again, I really appreciate it.
Yes. So have a good night, Ben. And, stay warm if you can, because I know that New York's probably cold.
Yeah, it's cold here. Great
yeah.
talking to you. I really appreciate
and
it.
And sorry about the Giants. Sorry about the Giants.
Well, we're a Jet fan here in this house. So it was some good news here.
That's true. Okay, well, good.
All
right,
yeah,
have a good one, and happy holidays to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. So, again, everybody, Ben Lieberman. The book is called Odd Jobs. You can find out more information about Ben on LiebermanBooks.com. It's Tommy Awards. His book's available everywhere, Amazon. You know, you can buy it right now, have it sent to your house. You can read it before Christmas. Send out his presents, whatever you need to do, because this is another author that might not be known as well right now, but you need to get on the bandwagon and follow exactly what's going to happen, because he wrote a very, very complex character right out of the gate, which is extremely hard to do, in Kevin Davenport. So Ben Lieberman, LiebermanBooks.com, check out Odd Jobs. That's all we have for you tonight, because we're going to cut the program here. Ben was the only guest that we had on, and again, we will not have a show here on Friday, which is Christmas Eve. We want to wish all of our listeners, all of our fans, all of our readers, everybody out there, a happy holidays. Be safe in what you do. Make sure you read a lot of books. There's still time to go out there and, you know, pick up the December issue of Suspense Magazine, the best of 2010 list. Stuff those stockings of those books that we have listed in there for all the genres. Follow us here on Facebook and Twitter. Go back and listen to all of your favorite authors. We have some great authors coming up here in 2011. We will have a show on next Tuesday, and we will not. And that will be our last show of the year, because we're not going to have one on New Year's Eve. Can you really have a show on New Year's Eve? No. So, everybody, we want to thank you so much again for joining us tonight, and we want to thank Ben for joining us tonight. The book is Odd Jobs, and another thing that I want to make sure that I let everybody know is there's, you know, a lot of great shows here on Blog Talk Radio. There's one that I was on not too long ago, and I want to be able to let everybody know that it is called The Gruesome Gossip, and they do a great job in talking about movies. So I want everyone to go ahead and listen to this, please.
White, as we bring you some of the greatest in past, present, and future horror film discussion, as well as interviewing some of the top names from the industry. Be there if you dare. Love, fear, listen here, live every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to our show page now to listen to past archived episodes at www.blogtalkradio.com/gruesomegossip. This is Gruesome Gossip, Horror Movie Podcast.
So everybody out there who likes horror movies and likes to know what's going on with horror movies, you want to check this out on Blog Talk Radio, Gruesome Gossip. They do a lot of great things out there, just like a lot of people do here on Blog Talk Radio in the book section. You want to make sure you check out a lot of those. So until next Tuesday, I want to say thank you again to Ben Lieberman and all everybody out there listening. It's been exciting. It's been fun. We will see you all here on a week from tonight. Again, no show coming up on Christmas Eve, and next Tuesday will be our last show of 2011. SuspenseMagazine.com. Go check out our December issue. Go on Facebook. Vote on the February cover, and we will see you all next Tuesday. For John, Suspense Radio, Suspense Magazine. Good night. Have a great one.